News Talk 1110 WBT, as we continue with the conversation with Dr. Sam Vaknin. He is a person who we should learn more about because of his perspectives on this president, first offered back in July of 2008. He's an author and an expert on narcissism. Now, that is a subject that we need to explore further. Well, good afternoon and welcome to the program, sir.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I first want to talk to you about your original observations about President Barack Obama. And your first impressions were actually good. Tell us about it.
I watched thousands of hours, literally by now thousands of hours, of Barack Obama on video, of course. I didn't have access to the then candidate and today president. But thousands of hours do amount to something. And I've noticed a series of things which led me to believe that he may be suffering from narcissistic personality disorder. Or, in short, that he may be a narcissist. First of all, his body language, then his childhood background, then his behavioral traits, his conduct, or actually misconduct, and then a series of pronouncements and actions. Starting with the body language, he had a haughty body language, chin up, the vision thing in his eyes, a messianic, cosmic sort of comporting himself. This is much more typical of dictators than it is of democratic leaders. This is the type of behavior, of body language, that's more common with the likes of Mussolini and Chavez than with the likes of presidents of the United States. So that was the first thing that drew my attention.
Now, based on what you've seen here the past few years, these observations that you've come to, have they been borne out further by what you've seen in office?
Regrettably, yes. I mean, his body language obviously hasn't changed. It's gotten worse, if anything. Then there is something called, for instance, pronoun density. It's the fact that the president keeps referring to I, me, mine, or the regal we. Now, every person, normal or narcissist, uses these pronouns. But the president uses them 4 to 6 times on average, more than the regular bloke, more than the regular chap. So his pronoun density is very high. That hasn't changed. Actually, it's gone up. His inability to confront information or data which threaten his inflated sense of self, his denial of such information, his fake or false autobiography, confabulation from start to finish, his inability to bridge the gap between his lack of accomplishments and his portrayal of himself, and so on and so forth. Now, all these things only got aggravated as he accumulated real accomplishments. Real accomplishments tended to support his inflated sense of self, and actually to aggravate his narcissism.
One of the things I heard early on is people raise the question and concern about a man writing an autobiography at this stage of life. Is there something that's inherently unhealthy about that?
Not if one has real accomplishments to brag of and to write about. The thing is that when Barack Obama has written both books, that together constitute his autobiography, he didn't have a single accomplishment to his name. I mean, he was a senator, but that was it. He didn't do anything. In his years at Harvard Law School, as a community organizer, there was not a single accomplishment worth writing about. But narcissists are notorious for confabulating their autobiography, augmenting it, inflating it, puffing it up, if you wish. And in extreme cases, lying about it, simply lying. And so Barack, the fact that he has written such an autobiography, if he has written it, is indicative of severe narcissism. And indeed, his chaotic childhood, the series of dislocations that he has suffered, repeated abandonments, the fact that he was a child of a mixed marriage when this was far less common than it is today, moving in between cultures, Christianity, Islam, Third World, First World, all this chaos that permeated his early life, add to this his body language, add to this his confabulated autobiography, which has nothing to do with his real-life accomplishments, add to that his sense of entitlement, his messianic perception of himself as someone on a cosmic quest to revamp the United States, to reinvent it, in effect. Add to that his aloofness, his coldness, emotional coldness, despite his false modesty, despite his preemptive falkiness, despite his acting, he's a good thespian. But Add all these things together, and that's a classic portrait of a narcissist. And that's what drew me to the conclusion very early on that he might be one. And nothing has changed my mind ever since, on the very contrary.
Now, about the 30 seconds we have left in this segment, I want to ask you about the word, you used the word misconduct. How would you characterize misconduct?
Well, misconduct in his case is the inability to separate the instruments of state and institutions from his own person. And that is also very typical of narcissists. Narcissists annex. They regard everything around them and everyone around them as extensions of themselves, tools, instruments of gratification, things to be toyed with in order to achieve and sustain some kind of grandiose, self-inflated image. And that's precisely what he's doing. Either the boundaries are vanishing day by day.
We're talking with Dr. Sam Vakhtin, and he is providing some insights on narcissism in regard to our current president. And we'll continue that conversation here on News Talk 1110 WBT. We continue now our conversation with Dr. Sam Vakhtin, and he's been talking about the issue of narcissism in regard to our president. I want to pick up a couple of subjects here, and one of them relates to this condition of narcissism as to how this is cured, so to speak. And I'm assuming that one of the big problems that a narcissist has is not realizing they have a problem.
Yes, indeed. Narcissists are not self-aware. Self-aware narcissists is an oxymoron. Narcissists are not self-aware because they paint the world around them with their own brush. They have what we call cognitive deficits or cognitive impairments. They're unable to perceive the world as it is. They perceive it as they would have liked it to be. They reject all information and data that contravenes or contradicts their inflated self-perception or their belief of their own importance and their own sort of mission on Earth. They penalize anyone, any person who brings bad news, in the sense that any person who contradicts, disagrees, or criticizes the narcissist. They create, in effect, a cult-like environment. Narcissists perpetuate cults. It could be a one-family cult. It could be a national cult. But it's a cult. Now, within a cult, there's a guru, and it's a single person. And this person is infallible and above criticism. And there are all the others. And the role of the others, their job, is to sustain the narcissist's grandiosity to help the narcissist achieve his agenda. And the sole purpose of the agenda is, again, to sustain the narcissist's grandiose self. It's a cycle. The narcissist consumes what we call narcissistic supply. It's a kind of drug. And narcissism is akin to drug addiction. The narcissist constantly needs and seeks actively and proactively attention, adulation, admiration, affirmation, applause. And when he fails to elicit these from his audience, he turns on the audience. He turns against the audience. You are either with a narcissist or against him. It's a black and white situation.
We're talking with Dr. Sam Vakhtin, and one of the things I want to delve into in the time we have left here, because this to me is of primary concern, because as you describe these things, what does this say about us that we have gravitated to this man, at least enough people to put him into office, and now that there continues to be, as you've described here, a cult-like following, what in the world breaks this spell? Because it's a vicious cycle. They both feed each other. Is that correct?
Well, it's reasonable to assume that narcissistic leaders reflect an underlying narcissistic culture or even a narcissistic civilization. As politics and show business merge, as techniques are borrowed from one to aid and abet the other, we have in power people who are less politicians and more concerned with the perpetuation of their own image, of their own grandiose self. In other words, they are more interested in confabulating and in acting than in managing. Obama is not a manager. He is an actor with a stage writ large. He's a Shakespearean figure in his own mind. He's a messiah. And there's a cult to support this contention. And this cult is self-perpetuating and self-interested, because if the messiah falls, if the idol fails, then very many people are going to feel very, very stupid. So there is this tendency to continue to lie to yourself in order not to expose to yourself as a voter, as part of the electorate, the horrible mistake that you have made.
What do you see for the future? Do you see the possibility of people waking up and realizing that they've become a part of this cult-like following and making a change? And what happens for the people and what happens to the person once that separation takes place, if it does?
The problem with narcissists is that they are pretty successful with what they do. They are very exciting. They're very dramatic. They promise things. They have the vision thing, if you wish. They have the allure and they lure. And as long as the narcissist doesn't fail dramatically and ostentatiously, they can go on for years. And there have been numerous narcissistic and psychopathic leaders throughout history and right now throughout the world, who have been at it for 8 years and 12 years and more and longer, and they are still there because people prefer to live in fantasy than in harsh reality. People prefer to dream, and narcissists are dream merchants. Their own personality is a concoction. Their own personality is a confabulation, a lie, a story, a narrative. Narcissists don't really exist. They are figments of their own imagination. So it's easy for them to sell other people on their fantasies, and people prefer to live in fantasy. That's the sad truth.
Talking with Dr. Sam Vaknin, who is talking about narcissism in regard to President Barack Obama, and I want to pose a disturbing question of what could be our future. Let's say Barack Obama is elected to another term. Are there implicit dangers? Because we only have two terms that a president can be elected to in this country. Is there an implicit danger to our Constitution and the possibility that something could be manipulated to provide some way for him to stay in office beyond that?
I would tend to doubt this. The American Constitution is sufficiently resilient to withstand the likes of Obama and worse. But narcissists end up badly. Narcissists end up in a bad way. Whether the narcissist is the chief executive officer, the president of the United States, or a husband, narcissists always screw up. There's always, at the end, a denouement, a process of untangling and unraveling, which is destructive, irreversible, and exposes the narcissist as the Wizard of Oz, a weak, pretentious, fallacious, deceitful character who is manipulating a machine much bigger than he is, just in order to sustain the deception of his grandiose self. Now, the narcissist can go on for 4 years, the narcissist can go on for 6 years, the narcissist can become a pillar of the community, a well-respected citizen. The narcissist can fool many people a lot of the time. But you know the saying, even the narcissist cannot fool everyone all the time. And all the narcissists that I've studied, and I've studied literally hundreds of historical figures who were either diagnosed directly as narcissists or were considered to be narcissists, all of these figures ended up ruining the foundations, ruining the institutions, ruining the organizations with which they were associated. That is the fear. Not some usurpation of the Constitution, but that Barack Obama will use the levers of power, will use the institutions at his disposal, which are of unprecedented capacity in human history, to ruin or to gravely or adversely affect the very foundations of the United States of America, the only democratic power, truly democratic power in the world right now, the buffer between us and the abyss. And this buffer is right now at the hands of a mentally ill person. Narcissism is a mental affliction, harsh and severe mental affliction. And people, narcissists, don't perceive the world as it is, which is a prerequisite for being a successful president of the United States. The ability to perceive the world as it is, not as you would like it to be, not as you dream of it being, not as you would like to shape it so that it conforms to your own personal confabulation.